So hello to you all. It's nice to see you all here. So why am I giving the introductory lecture today rather than last Monday? I think maybe you've got a bit of an explanation, but because Phil Wadler is going to be away this week, he wanted to give you some introduction to functional programming last Monday, and so we decided to postpone this lecture until today. I think probably quite a lot of it you already would have figured out, or else you wouldn't be here now. But there will be hopefully a few issues which I can clarify for you about the course. I'll try and give you a little bit of context, but not a huge amount. And this is also an opportunity for you to ask questions about anything that's not clear at the moment. So my name's Ewan Klein. I'm the course organiser for Informatics 1. This is the first year that I've been course organiser. I've taught on Informatics 1 for a couple of years. And you've already met most of these people. We've had lectures from Dave Robertson and Phil Wadler. And I guess you've already come into contact with the teaching assistants to a certain extent, maybe in the labs? Yeah, okay. And you may or may not have seen Kirsten. She's the course secretary up in the ITO on the fourth floor, and she's your first point of contact for any admin issues, anything to do with course materials or things like scheduling tutorials and so on. And she'll be sending you a fair amount of email during the next few weeks. So a little bit about background. There are three areas which we see as relevant, particularly relevant to informatics. And these three areas are ones which are perhaps more familiar, at least some aspects of them will be. So computer science is asking deep questions about what is computation, what's the right kind of model for different kinds of computational processes, and also how do we get computing devices, not just kind of computers that we've got on the desk here, but things like in your phone or very small computers or very big computers. Artificial intelligence has historically been concerned with addressing the question, what is intelligence? What's intelligent behavior? Can you build a computational model of it? Can you get computer programs which will act in a way that we might regard as intelligent? Thirdly, cognitive science has been concerned with what we might call natural computing devices. For example, things like you and me. So we all have brains which carry out computation, and they do that in a way which we still don't understand, but we're beginning to understand better. And we do it at different levels. So there's things that happen in our neurons firing, there's things that happen when we, say, recognize a face, there's things that happen when we can think of words, we put them together and make a sentence. So there's all these different levels of computation which we as natural devices can carry out. And so cognitive science has been looking at those kinds of issues. Historically, in Edinburgh, we actually had three departments for each of those. So these all had a long history, they were well respected, and they did what they, they had their own missions which they carried out. But there was a sense that more could be gained by combining them. And in some sense, each of them by itself perhaps was a little bit too narrow. And there was an awareness that computation as a kind of notion was spreading out wider and wider to all other, whole of other areas. And so we constructed the School of Informatics as a way of bringing those three departments together. And it was quite a culture shock to begin with, because we all had different ways of working and different theories about the right way of teaching, the right way of doing research and so on. But over the last 10 years, we've brought that together into something that works pretty well, I think. And the way in which we're teaching informatics now is, to a certain extent, you can think of it as if we're trying, think of turning his arrows backwards a little bit, that you start off maybe in your first year here, and then you might specialise more in computer science, or more in AI, or more in cognitive science. But we're trying to provide a common basis in the first year that will give you both the tools and the kind of concepts to carry out specialisation in later years. So we have a broad base, and then the courses become increasingly specialised as you go through the next 3 years. So informatics is on our webpage defined as this, looking at structure, behaviour, interactions of computational systems, where those can be both engineered, ones that we've built, or natural, ones that have evolved over hundreds of thousands of years. Okay, so that's a kind of contextualization. So you probably know this already, but we've got two courses in semester one, two courses in semester two, and you've already been going to your lectures in computational logic and functional programming. And both of the programming courses are meant to be introducing you to two different ways of programming. Why are you doing programming? Well, partly because it's a practical skill that you need. You'll need that through your undergraduate education. So whatever you're going to be doing next, you'll probably need to be doing some programming. And so we want to get you to a stage where it comes to you relatively easily. We probably won't be completely successful in doing that this year, but we'll do our best. Why are there two different programming languages? Well, it's partly because you can get very good at the syntax of one particular language and get very used to it, but we want you to also do two things. We want you to get some idea of what an algorithm is by using different, at least two different languages to say the same thing. If you see that you can say the same thing in two different ways, that's going to help you abstract a bit and see what they have in common. So looking at a slightly more abstract level of what is computation. So that's why we've got both Haskell and Java. And second, you'll find as you go through the next few years that different courses will say, well, we want you to learn a bit more of this other language, and they'll expect you to do it by yourself to a large extent. So we want to get you to a stage where you're a little bit familiar with at least two paradigms of programming, so that that will give you a way of seeing that there are different ways of doing things, and you can start to see, well, this other language is a bit like Java, and you can use the knowledge you've gained there to learn the differences in some new language, like, for example, Python or something like that. Similarly, there might be other language which is more like Haskell, or has aspects of it which is like Haskell. And then the other two courses, computational logic and data analysis, are trying to give you introduction to some conceptual tools. So finite state systems are used pervasively through a whole raft of computer science and AI. the very basic notion. And propositional logic is a way of giving a formalization of what we know about a particular domain and reasoning with it, which is very important. So you've probably already come across that last week. Data analysis, well, we're swimming in data. We get more and more and more and more of it all the time. And most of what we do in our modern civilization depends on the existence of vast amounts of data and our ability to process it. So every time you withdraw cash from a cash machine, there's a whole lot of transactions going on which involve a database, which store terabytes of information about transactions and so on. And all that is driven by data and processes for manipulating data. And the data analysis course will look not just at structured data, but data, for example, that's contained in text, or data that's represented in various other structured ways or semi-structured ways. So there's four courses there which have a meant to balance of practice and theory. As I said, this is meant to give you a basis for moving on into second year and then on to third and fourth. Are there any questions about this so far? Yeah. You almost, well, it depends. There may be other factors, but yeah, if you've, the only other thing that would be a factor would be the maths. So you'd need to show that you'd either have done it in the math or informatics or have equivalent math background. But that's something you'd need to talk to your director of studies about. Okay. And this, I guess you already know, right? I'm sorry if though I know there was a slight discrepancy of one of the web pages about the lecture on Friday. Did you all manage to get to there? Okay. Okay. So there will be some variations from that. So in particular, there is no lecture tomorrow. Right. So you can do some coursework or whatever, work on an assignment. but generally, if there are any changes, they'll be advertised well in advance. Labs. So last week, I hope that most of you managed to go to the labs for the computing support sessions, which were scheduled. And you hopefully will have been aware that there were people there to help you. So last week, there will have been people from the computing support group, and there will have also been some demonstrators. So this week, there should be two demonstrators available at every lab session, and there'll typically be different ones every day. So the demonstrators are people who are usually third or fourth year students. They've done pretty much what you've done, and they probably know very well the kinds of problems that you might be having. So they're really there to help you. They might come up and say, you know, are you having any problems? They're not there to judge you, they're not there to assess you, they're not going to report on you, they're there to help you. You may find that you get to know one or two of them, and if you like one particular demonstrator, then you can make a habit of going to that particular session, but you're not required to, so you can go to any or all of these sessions. You'll notice that they are in different places some days, so they're all on the fifth floor of Appleton Tower, but this one, this one, this one are in the West Lab, and these two are the North Lab. But these signs are on the doors. You will probably find there are other students there who are not doing Informatics 1. You can just ignore them. You have priority in those labs. So in principle, if there was not enough room, but there was a student from third year, you could politely ask them if they could move to another lab, because you get priority in those labs at those hours. And that's where the demonstrators will be. One reason, okay, so a lot of you, increasingly, this is true, will have laptops, and you'll be installing software on your laptops and running, doing exercise on your laptops. It's a good idea, even if you're really comfortable with that, still to go to the labs and make sure that you're comfortable using the machines in the DICE machines that we have here. Why is that? Well, it's because your programming exam will be done using those machines. So you need to feel really well acquainted with how they work, because that's what you're going to need to do when you come to the end of semester exam. And I think you've been given sheets for Haskell, which include using our submit software for submitting exercises. And you'll use something very like that for the exam as well. And that's also true for second semester. So there were cases once or twice in the past, which I'm sure none of you would do, but people didn't actually know how to log in on the day of the exam because they hadn't ever used the the informatics computing machine. So you wouldn't want to be in that situation. So make sure you know how to log in and use the system. Any questions about that? Yeah.
We have an exercise tool that's crazy.
Yes. Okay, I did hear that there was a problem last week, and I thought it was going to be fixed by now. I'm sorry to hear that it isn't. I will double check with computing support and make sure that, I'll try and find out. If it looks like there's going to be a delay beyond today, I'll let people know. Thanks for alerting me to that. Any other questions? Okay. Tutorials. So the lab exercises are primarily for functional programming, although you can get help in the in the labs for computational logic. But in addition to the lab sessions and those exercises, there will also be tutorials, which are small groups. Some of you got an email already giving you a tutorial group. There will be another email coming out probably on Wednesday, because some of the registrations didn't come through in time to allow us to allocate groups in the optimal way. So you should make sure that you check again which group you're on when you get the next email. So the idea is that gives you an opportunity to talk about the course material in a smaller group, to ask questions, and to also swap ideas with people in your group. So for computational logic, there'll be weekly tutorial sheets. And I think for functional programming, essentially, the exercises that you can do in the labs will be also the ones that you take to the tutorials. So expect everybody to go to tutorials, and we do keep a record of who turns up, which may seem a little bit like you're back at school, but one reason we do that is because we really want to try and keep track of to make sure that everybody is keeping up with the material. So the worst thing from our point of view is if you struggle, but you don't feel happy about going to the tutorial, you kind of lose track of what's happening, and then we don't know that you're not keeping up. And so if you don't go to a tutorial for 2 weeks running, somebody will get in touch and ask, you know, is there a problem? We really want to make sure that you enjoy the course, that you follow the material, and we need to get that, we need to have that relationship with you so that we know how it is for you. And the tutorial is one of the most important ways of doing that. So tutorials will, this is week two, tutorials will start next week, in week three. And as it says here, they'll either be on Tuesday and Wednesday for computational logic or Thursday and Friday for functional programming. As it says here, you may have problems with the tutorial times. You can change, but you should tell the ITO that you want to do that, just so that they can keep track. And also to make sure that we don't get one tutorial that has many too many people in it. So assessment for functional programming, there is a class test. So that will be in a lecture room like this. Actually, I think it'll be in this lecture room. So it'll be Monday the 25th. So it's a paper and pencil exercise. And that will count as 10% of your marks. And in addition, there will be an exam in the labs towards the end of the semester in December, which will make up 90% of the mark. So there you will actually be given questions that you're expected to construct working answers to on the computer. So you'll test them out on the computer and submit your answers from the computer. And there'll be a similar computer-based exam for Java in the second semester. There's also something called a mock programming exam. That's not where we mock you. It's an opportunity where for you just to do a practice. So it'll be an exam that's pretty similar to what you'll expect in the real exam. And you'll do it in exam conditions. And it won't be fully marked, but you should be able to get some feedback from it. I'm not quite sure actually what the feedback is going to be. I should check that. But that the main thing there is to give you some sense of how hard doing that exam would be. Yeah?
When can we find out the exam timetable?
That's a good question. That's not entirely under our control. I will try and find out about that and let you know. So the question was, when do you find out about the exam timetable, which is when is the exam scheduled? I'll point you later on to where the exams will be announced, so you can check there, and they may in fact have the dates. Have a look. And then the computational logic is a more conventional exam, written exam, during the same period, and that's 100% of the marks for computational logic. Pass mark is 40%. So you'll want to know about how you're getting on and how do you assess your progress. So one mechanism is the tutorial exercises I've already mentioned. So if you do those exercises, go to the tutorials, you'll then get an idea, you know, are you doing the right thing? Have you slightly missed the point? Are there things you need to work on harder? And pretty much the whole syllabus which will be examined will be covered in one tutorial or another. So every tutorial is potentially relevant to what will be in the exam. And then I've already mentioned the programming class test, so that will be marked, and you'll get the marked exam back, so you'll see how you're doing in Haskell. Computational logic has a coursework assignment, so that's going to be handed out in week 8, and you have to hand it back in the Friday of the following week. And you'll again get the marked answers back for discussion and tutorials. So that's not marked in the sense that it's part of the assessment. It's just for your benefit to see that you're understanding the material. And as I mentioned, you also get the mock programming exam, which, yeah, it says it will be marked, and you'll get it back in tutorials at the last week of semester, in week 11. Last week of teaching semester. So let's see here. So this is probably a little bit hard to read at the back, but this has got the course guide, which I guess a lot of you will have looked at. So the course guide includes practically everything I said today. It's got the timetable. So it says here, no lecture, no tutorials this week, and tutorials start in week 3. And it's also got the various other important dates in red. It's got here how to get in touch with people, so you can always contact me at my email. For the ITO, ideally, try and use... I need to log in. All right, it's a long password. So this is a form which... So you'd pull down this box here, ITO. The reason that we ask you to use this form in general is that every request through this form gets logged, gets put in a big list, and there's everybody in the ITO, in a sense, is jointly responsible for making sure that your request gets dealt with. So it's the most reliable way of making sure that someone's heard what you said and it gets dealt with. And you'll also get a confirming email saying that your request has been received. Go back. Sorry, where am I? Sorry, I'm going to do the wrong thing here. Come on, Ewan. So this has got not holes of information, something about inf base, which I'll say a bit more about. Exam timetable. So this will give you details here about when the exams are going to be. So you can check that. I'll say a bit more about this. It's got something here about the student-staff liaison committee. So you can look, if you're interested in seeing the kinds of things that people discussed in the past in these bodies. No, it's not doing the right thing, so I want to look at this again. That's a good question. I guess it's this one, yeah. So go to the functional programming, what do you call it? Just this page here, which I got to from here. So I was here, and I went to functional programming, and I scrolled down to the schedule. So most of this bit of that page will be updated on a regular basis, and there'll be links to the lectures, and there'll be links to the exercise sheets. So this is where you'll want to go to each week to get that information. And I think probably the same thing will be true for the computational logic. So you've got all your tutorial exercises already available for you. Okay. Okay, I had a few questions from people about WebCT. So WebCT is the standard university system for electronic dissemination of course materials. But for better or worse, not all courses in informatics use it. So at the moment, in fact, only computational logic uses it systematically. The reason really was because we had web delivery of course materials a long time ago, before WebCT was in place, and there'd just been a natural tendency for people to use what they used before. If you feel as a group that having more systematic use of WebCT would be a good thing, then I'd be interested to hear about that, because it's something we could address. Yeah, I guess it's a question. Okay, so that's a good point. So if there are more people who share your view, I'd be interested in hearing that. Which takes me on to the next topic, which is class representatives. And I gather from Dave Robertson that two people have already volunteered. We need about 5 or 6 people. And it's really useful for us to have class representatives because it gives us a vital way of finding out what's going on in the course, and it means that you can feed back to us any problems and things that you think should be improved. So it says here that class reps should get feedback from the rest of the class, comments, suggestions. And there's a staff student liaison meeting that takes place in both semesters, and so you, as a small group of the class reps and the lecturers and me and the course secretary, get together and see what's come up for you, what problems are, what we can do to address them. And there's also a group called Facilities Learning and Teaching Group, which is across all 4 years, and that meets regularly, and again, it's an opportunity to address all kinds of problems like computers not working in the labs, for example, or something like submit command not working. That meets weekly, and you wouldn't be required to go to that, but it'd be good if you could. So one thing I would say is that there may be a tendency for people who already feel kind of, I understand this material, I can do informatics, I don't have any problems, to think I'd be a good class rep, which is great, but also I'd like to encourage any of you who think, I'm not really sure what's going on, I find it all pretty confusing, I don't like programming, I'd encourage you to also consider being a class rep, because actually in some ways you may be in a more representative indicator of what a lot of people feel. So being confused is actually a qualification rather than a disqualification for being a class rep. So I don't know how you want to do this. One possibility is I nominate someone as a kind of election officer or recipient of suggestions. Does anybody want to do that? How about you? You volunteered to say something.
Sure.
Can you do that? What's your name?
Andy.
Okay, Andy here has agreed to. Has accepted my request very generously to gather together nominations for class reps. So if you only get five, then just give me the five or six, just give me the names, and that's fine. If you get, say, a dozen, then maybe you might want to try and see whether you can organise an election. Friday. So if you could email me the names by Friday, that would be great. There is Edinburgh University Students Association is very keen that all years should have that all courses should have good representation, and they actually have a booklet about how to be a class rep, and I think there may even be a little bit of training. I don't know. So there is an active body of students who think that it's important that they have their voice heard in making sure that teaching is as good as it can be. And so they really want to see you contributing to that process. So one last thing I was just going to bring your attention to. Is this page? If I can get there. Okay, so there's more information here about this facilities teaching and learning wiki. There's also a link here to CompSoc. I think that somebody wave at the back. I think Kat Merrican gave a talk in induction week about this, but maybe not all of you went to it. CompSoc was kind of rather moribund until 2 years ago, and suddenly there was a very energetic group of students in Informatics 1 who gave the whole thing a big shot in the arm, and it's now been much more active. I think they're doing a great job, and I'd really encourage you to get involved. One thing I also wanted to say at this stage, and I'm going to finish in a moment actually, is that in the past we had something called electronic news groups where you could post messages about the course and get answers either from fellow students or from TAs. But newsgroups seem to be a thing of the past. Your generation now is so used to things like Facebook and it's kind of much more whizzy kind of computational devices that newsgroups just don't seem to cut it. So what has evolved in the last couple of years is that for people who want, particularly trying to have more or less online, real-time help with their classwork, particularly with programming, is to use something called IRC. And there's something about it here, and you probably can't read at the back, but there are things called channels on IRC, which you can think of as being like rooms where you can talk with people who want to talk the same thing as you want to. And there's one for CompSoc itself, there's one for Inf1. So it's the bit like exchanging messages on Facebook. You just kind of write into a little chat window and that pops up in a space that everybody can see, and then people can reply to that. So it's kind of multi-communication rather than one-to-one. But that seems to have been incredibly useful for people for saying, you know, I've really got this problem with this particular exercise in functional programming. I don't understand what this function is doing or what library do I need for this. And I definitely recommend that you try this out. And the Phil Scott, one of the TAs, is pretty much on that all the time. And you may find that even if he's not on, you know, you're doing something at 11:30 at night in your hall of residence, there'll probably be somebody else around who's not at the pub and may have some good suggestions. So that's pretty much everything I wanted to say, but I'm very happy to answer any more questions that you might have. Yeah.
You know how at the beginning of the lecture you said that three schools were brought together?
Yeah.
Does that mean we'll be doing cognitive science and AI in later years?
Does that mean you'll be doing what?
Cognitive science and AI in later years as part of the course, in later years?
Well, most of you will have, I mean, all of you, I guess, who are doing informatics rather than doing it as an outside subject, will be on a degree course. So you may have, you know, you may be here for computer science or artificial intelligence. There is now a degree in cognitive science. But because the first year is broad, there's a kind of bundle of courses that are the normal courses for computer science or the normal courses for artificial intelligence or the normal courses for cognitive science. And some of those will be required, not all of them. So there's a certain amount of slack and a certain amount of overlap. So if you came to do computer science, you won't be required to do things which you might regard as AI or cognitive science. You may well have an opportunity to do them if you want to. But if you think, I'm registered to do computer science, but actually I find the AI course is a lot more interesting, then you could look into changing your course, and you can do that pretty painlessly. You just have to see your director of studies about that. Does that address your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, well, thank you very much for your patience. So I probably won't see most of you until next semester, but I hope you enjoy yourselves. Yeah. got names of two people from Dave. You gave your name to Dave. I think it probably is worth telling Andy, just so he knows. But you can say, I mean, if you're already there, that's fine. All right.
Was there
any...
Because I just arrived this today.
Okay, so what we should do is those sort of two web pages for functional programming. We'll look at the slides for the lecture. And if you, the things you don't understand, probably best to go to the one of the labs and ask them to demonstrate in order for how to go to.
Is there any technical support for your own laptops, for example?
Depends what the problem is.
Finding new drive, the client drivers, and like that.
Not really.
Yeah,
I think
there's
a
registration.
No. Only
if
it's drawn. If you don't want to, if you don't force you to go for lab, but you may find the exam difficult to do if you don't go for lab.
I mean, the homework for the labs.
Well, the homework for the labs is...
What's that 0%?
The homework for the labs is not assessed.
Yeah.
So you don't have to, it's not crucial for your mind.
So it's an optional.
It's optional, but you are required to go to tutorials, and we'll keep track of that. And if you go to tutorials without having done the exercises, then you'll be embarrassed. Unless you're very clever and you can get the answers in your head or something.
Because we have coursework, which has the time for the next Friday.
Yes.
So, how can we submit it?
You don't have to submit it. You don't have to submit it. You just have to take your work to the tutorial.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to submit it.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
A quick question. The drop-in labs don't have any lessons on them, so they don't technically teach it.
What's behind your question?
No, as in, it's just something that, it's just a place where you can go to if you have any inquiries about whatever part of the work you need.
Well, yes. So if you find that you can do all the Haskell programming completely without any problems, then you would, in principle, you wouldn't have to go. Next semester, you will have to go to the labs for Java, of course.
Okay, thank you.
Hi. The handouts for Haskell and Submit, are they available online? I'd like to have a copy of them.
I think we had a quick... If you just come back, well, come with me. So where were we? Is that a tab? Is that one? Do you want that one? Is that one? No, okay. So I'm still talking about the Haskell one. So this page,
mm-hmm.
So you can see here, that's the Haskell. So these are the notes, and that's some code which I guess you can use. I'm not quite sure what this role is, but that would be, the .hs is all Haskell
so
code.
So the PDF there, I'll run through how to submit work, stuff like that, yeah? Or don't need to go and collect that.
I think that will all be in this one here.
Right. Right, okay.
So there'll be instructions there.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. Thank you.
All
very
right,
much.
You're welcome. Yeah. Hi.
I'm a new student, just arrived here recently. So someone told me I had to go and see the director of studies because I have to choose an optional module. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, I have. Informatics and mathematics already chosen for me.
Right.
They're compulsory. Basically, my question is where can I find my director?
I suggest you go up to the fourth floor, the informatics teaching office,